This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good.
A little chilly?
I'm good. A little cold. Wasn't too bad, though.
Well, it is 38 in Poway. That's chilly.
That's getting there.
I don't know what temperature it was in the Hamul side of Spring Valley.
In the sticks?
The sticks, but it was cold. I had more frost this morning than yesterday morning, and more frost yesterday morning than the day before when they had issued the frost advisory. But I didn't see a frost advisory issued last night. So
I didn't see any frost this morning.
Maybe you guys... Was it breezy up in your neck of the woods?
No. During the night it was.
This morning when I left, it wasn't.
That would help prevent blue. Any frost, well, but it would, was yeah. very still at my house. Beautiful clear sky, Venus
rising
in the east, and a sliver moon last night.
That was gorgeous.
It was
last
very
night.
Pretty.
I missed that.
It was as he said, a sliver, but it was really bright. Yes.
I guess that, I would have had to go outside to see that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I missed that. Let's see. What do we have going on today? We have classes both stores. 9 o'clock in San Diego. It's going to be early spring color.
Is it Josh or Ryan?
While you guys are trying to figure that out, is there a difference between late winter color and early spring color? Or do you think it'll be more or less the same?
Probably the
just
same.
Say I would think it's about the that same. Wasn't supposed similar. To be a real tricky question. You're just supposed to say the same.
I think it's probably about
okay,
the same.
Okay, thank you.
And in San Diego or in Poway today at 9:30, we have a special class. It's going to be plants in the Proteaceae family with John Clements of the San Diego Botanical Garden.
Horticulturalist of the Year, John Clements.
Oh, really? I did not know that. So that should be a good class. John's a great guy. He's a great guy.
So we're looking
really,
forward
really
to
nice
it.
Guy. So
I put my favorite Proteaceae plant. I stacked the table for him last night before I left, and I put my favorite Proteaceae out there, which is
the macadamia.
Macadamia nut.
I saw that.
I believe it's the only fruiting member of the Proteaceae family.
We have a very good selection of Proteaceae plants in stock right now.
Since you like to tell people what things mean, what the heck is a Proteaceae?
Protea family plants, and that is things like leucodendrons, leucospermums, the grevilleas.
All of our Australian
and South African, the Proteas.
Proteas, Banksias.
Banksia.
All the things that do really, really well here that aren't natives to Southern California, but seem to perform as well, if not better, than some of our natives.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And don't require a tremendous amount of water.
Correct, or care, for that matter.
Yeah.
Getting good drainage.
Yeah, that's true.
They have a fault, though, and that is you can't feed them with a high phosphorus fertilizer.
Why do you always have to point out people's faults?
So they can improve themselves.
Okay, we'll correct. Talk to
constructive
them.
Criticism.
Okay, thank you.
And then next Saturday in San Diego at 9 o'clock, it's going to be garden bed preparation with Richard, and in Poway, another special guest. Chuck McClung is going to be doing a class on how orchids rebloom, and he's also going to be signing books for his book on how to rebloom orchids.
It's much easier and better to listen to him and read his book and learn how to do it rather than just throw them away.
A lot of people do that. Yeah, you're right.
We picked that date as it's right close to Valentine's when there tends to be a lot of orchids being
pushed brilliant. Out. Brilliant. Gump.
He's thinking. George is a thinker.
And according to the San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation, next weekend, the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Are you sure you want to jinx them?
We'll see. The San Diego Cactus and Succulent Society is having their show on sale. And that's going to be at the Casa del Prado, room 101, and on the patio as well. And then on the 26th and the 27th, this is one, if you go to one show this year, this is the one that I would recommend you go to, and that's the Mycological Society's Fungus Fair. It is an outstanding show. I mean, it is one of the most amazing botanically related shows I have ever been to. I've only been once, but it blew me away when I went. It's outstanding.
I believe you, and I've seen some pretty neat fungi. in the nursery and in containers and coming out of containers, and I know that it barely scratches the surface of what's out there. But I have an aversion to fungi when it comes to.
Well, they kind of creep
them.
Me out.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, it's on. I can't remember if it's on Netflix or on Prime. I think I've mentioned it before, but there's an outstanding documentary about fungus, and it's called Fabulous Fungi. And they
I
go.
I think that's the one Capri and I watched. That was incredibly interesting.
It was amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I always thought Fabulous Fungi was about me. It's not.
No.
Ugh. Oh well, another bubble burst. Thanks, Ken.
No. No. Anytime.
Fabulous Fungi. I have not seen it.
Yeah. Check it out, because it really is amazing. That whole world of, and they're not plants. So I mean that whole thing.
Yeah,
that subset.
Yeah, it's an outstanding show. My dad sent me an email a couple of days ago, and kind of sad news. Glenn Asakawa reached out and mentioned that his brother Bruce had passed away, which. Is very sad. The Asakawa family were longtime members of the horticultural industry here in San Diego, and Bruce was one of the first radio talk show hosts for horticulture and gardening.
He used to listen every Saturday and Sunday to Garden Compass.
Garden Compass, yeah.
And John was on there too.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. He was a great guy. His family were. Just outstanding people. We'd known him for years. They owned Presidio Nursery down off of Marina Boulevard. His dad, Moto, was just an amazing person. I never saw him without a smile on his face. He was just a wonderful guy, and we were very lucky to have them as friendly competitors for a long, long time. And unfortunately, there's just not that many of us around anymore.
Those were the two. Presidio and Walter Anderson Nursery.
And back in the day when there was a
the association, like the California Association of Nurserymen.
We had a big chapter here in San Diego. There were a lot of people in it, and now that there's nobody in it now, and it's a shrinking. It's a shrinking group of people, unfortunately. So our condolences go out to the Asakawa family. That's a big loss for everybody. Let's see, what else do I have going on here?
I guess I should say the big three, which was Presidio, Mission Hills, and Walter Anderson Nursery.
You could say that.
And Presidio is now the parking lot
for the trolley station.
For the trolley station, right. In Linda Vista.
Yeah. Unfortunately, and I remember they had a tropical fish department, and to this day I can remember, because we always had an aquarium when I was growing up, and to this day I can remember going into the tropical fish department and the smell of the tropical fish, the humidity and the
ammonia.
Everything about it.
It's a very unique smell.
Yeah, it really is. Let's see. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go up to Fallbrook, where Harry is waiting. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Good morning. I was down at your nursery last Tuesday, And I want to bring up a couple of things because I think it's just as important knowing how to get down there as it is in being there. So I had called the nursery and asked them how I should go down there. And they said, well, get on 15, and then when you hit Scripps, whatever, what is that?
Scripps Poway Parkway.
Go east.
Okay. Go east. And when you hit Community Road, we're right there. I said, okay. But I had a GPS, and the GPS told me another way.
Okay.
And it says, get on 15. Well, and when you hit El Norte Parkway, take that, go east until you hit Community Road, and then go south, and we're right. And that's what I did. So I took that route and went down there, and went to the nursery. And I think it's an incredible nursery. We're very fortunate to have that to go to. And I think it's kind of like a Mecca. It's like everybody is like a Hajj. Everybody needs to go to Walt Anderson Nursery at least once in a lifetime. But anyway, when I was down there, I started walking around, and I came across gardenia patch. And some of the plants looked a little chlorotic. And I asked one of the employees down there, I said, isn't there something you could do to make them a little more green? And she said, we're not allowed to do that. We just water them, and if somebody wants to buy them and make them green, that's up to them. But we're not allowed to do anything like that other than water them. And my first question to you is that correct?
Yes and no. No, we can feed them. Gardenias have trouble absorbing nitrogen when the soil, or not nitrogen, iron when the soil is cool. So they have a tendency to be on the yellow side during the winter.
Yeah.
And the fertilizer question is yes and no. We are not prevented from using it, but it is a concern by those who are in charge of the water supply that fertilizer might come out of a container and get into the water. So I don't know if you noticed any puddles while you were at the nursery, but we are required to block the drains so no water runs out of our hoses and off the property. So we have to block the drains, and then we have to vacuum the water. So we try and minimize fertilizer use just to try and stay in step with the
compliant, yes,
with the powers that be. So yes and no, but very kind of you to say the nice words about the nursery. I agree wholeheartedly, and usually get up there at least 5 times a week for my Hajj.
Okay, well, the saga continues, because I went down there, bought about $100 worth of stuff, and then when I was ready to leave, I went up to the customer service desk and I said, what's the best way to get back to 15?
Well, we have an excellent answer to that question, but hang on, because we have to take a break, and then
we need to take a break, Harry, but I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll come back to you as soon as we can. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KPRZ and KCBQ. We'll be back with more, and we'll finish up our conversation with Harry right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
He let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden, in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you would like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We're going to go back to Fallbrook, where Harry is waiting. Welcome back, Harry. Thanks for staying online.
Okay. So, I get ready to leave, and I go up to the customer service desk, and I said to them, what's the best way to get back on, to get back to 15. And they all said, go right out of the nursery, take another right and another right, and then take that road and go all the way back. And I said, what road is that? And they said, it's Poway Road. So I went out of the nursery, took a right, another right, and then another right. But I didn't wind up at Poway Road. I wound up at Scripps Poway Road. And I was a little confused. And in that moment of being confused, I nearly got broadsided by someone coming from the east. Anyway, I went on to Scripps Poway Road. And as you know, that's a four-lane highway. There are two lanes going east and two lanes going west. When I got onto the highway going west, there was a lot of construction, major construction on that road. And they moved everybody over into a single lane, and it was stop and go all the way until I hit 15. When I got on 15, you know, it was fine. I drove all the way home. And when I got home, I called the store manager there, Walter Anderson, and I told her the experience. And the only thing I left out was the fact that I nearly got broadsided when I went up to Scripps Poway Road. And I said to her, you know, I should have probably, someone should have directed me out going right, and then a left. And when I hit Poway Road, go up Poway Road. And she says to me, she says to me about Poway Road. She says, that's not the way to go because it's heavily traffic. The speed limit is 35 miles an hour, and it'll take you forever to get to 15. And she says the way to go would have been Scripps. And you hit a bad day. The construction there is intermittent. It's not always going on. And that was just one day where all the construction was going on, and that's why you had a hard time. So I said, well, then I probably should have left the same way I came, by going on Community Road, going down to El Norte, and then taking that trip up there. And she said, yeah, that's possible. Then she said, you can also take Ted Williams Parkway, whatever, which I got confused even further with that. So,
Harry, thank you very much. We are sorry that the traffic and the construction is going on Scripps Poway Parkway. It does make a mess, and it is ongoing, but...
And it is intermittent. And yeah. It's hit or miss.
If somebody had asked me which way to go to the freeway, I would have sent you down Scripps Poway Parkway. If somebody had asked me for directions to come to the nursery, I would have brought you in on Scripps Poway Parkway because it's the most direct route. It is not the fastest, but it's the most direct route. And so it makes it harder for people to get lost. And so that's why we send new people those directions. Thank you for the feedback. And
thanks for shopping. Thanks for making the trip down and shopping with us as well. We really do appreciate that.
I guess that's that.
I think that's
if
about it.
If you want to give us a call.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Let's see. What else do we have going on? Man, the roses are leafing out like crazy.
They look good.
Some of them have 6 or 8 inches of growth on them already.
And those that do have that much growth, it's probably best to leave them in the pots now until they bloom once. But there's still lots with
still
less
lots
growth.
Of,
and the second, the batches, the later batches have not leafed out that much.
No.
How are the fruit trees doing?
They are doing very well.
They're now too starting to leaf or not
Some
yet?
Of them are in bloom already.
Yeah, apples and the they have a couple of peaches that are starting to leaf to flower.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if you guys noticed it. There's a beautiful peach in the receiving area. It has my name on it.
We talked about it, yeah.
And it is in full bloom. The bees are all over it. It was a seedling from a spicy nectar plum that I got from my brother-in-law. And he thought it might be a spicy nectar plum because it was a seedling from that tree. But it clearly is not because it has green leaves. But I am curious. It has a ton of fruit on it, or a ton of flowers on it, if it'll set fruit in the mild winter that we've had. And then what are we going to get? Do I get to steal the name, or do I have to share it with my brother-in-law?
Well,
or?
Definitely have to share it with your brother-in-law.
All right. Well, anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because it clearly is not a purple leaf tree.
It's a very pretty tree. The flower, it's full bloom. It's very pretty. I like it.
Well, we'll
I'm
see
a big
nectar
fertile fan. Exactly.
Yeah. Most peaches are, though.
Yeah.
I don't know of any.
Peaches and nectarines.
Yeah, nectarines. I don't know of any that are need a pollinator.
No, I don't know of any either. I was just thinking because of the nectar plum.
Of it, right.
Yeah. But yeah, the fruit trees are disappearing. I mean,
we've gotten rid of 10 bins. We got rid of 8 bins in January, and I don't think we've typically done that.
Rumor has it we still have kefir pears. Is that true?
I think there are a handful if you want one.
Okay.
There's a lot of kefir pears. We've got quite a few apples left, too. Yeah. Apples have been a little on the slow side.
It depends on which. The Braeburns went very quickly, as did the Dorset Goldens as well.
And they've been potting up a lot of the trees.
Yeah, so they've been working through the backstock.
Some of the peaches.
And, yeah, when they start flowering like that, leafing out, pots.
Are any of your fruit trees at home blooming? Are they in bloom?
Yes, the two pluots that need pollinizers are in bloom and with no pollinizer blooming
that's
around.
That's the
them.
Worst.
But I did finally remember to take home the cuttings of blooming plum wood that you gave me, George, and I inverted a trash can next to the tree, and I put my little cup of water with the stems in it that were blooming right next to the tree, and hopefully a bee will come by and pollinate my...
At least one piece of fruit off
yes,
of that.
Yes, yes.
Our pears, our hood pear is in bloom right now, and our Eva's Pride is in full bloom.
Very nice.
But I did violate my oath to not purchase any bare root trees until I got the potted avocados into the ground. But I had to violate that because we got in a few elephant heart plums.
I know, because we also have one now in the ground.
And Emma was my mom and dad's favorite plum growing up, so hopefully I'll get some fruit off it while they can still enjoy it. But it is in the ground and planted and watered.
Very
It's
good.
Not going to fruit this year.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. It's a gorgeous tree. But it has not begun to leaf out, and I'm pretty sure it needs a pollinizer. So it's going to be a late plum.
I think you're right.
And, well, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Yes.
So anyway, if you're interested in getting bare root fruit trees, I would not wait. Now is the time. Now, actually, a couple of weeks ago was the time to do it, but you still have a little bit of time.
A month ago was the time. I had somebody call, I think it was last week, that said, how long are you going to have your fruit trees? Well, more and more varieties are disappearing every day or week. So I don't know. The variety you were waiting for
you
might
can't
already,
answer that question. Yeah.
Might already be gone.
Yeah, we have a tote board at customer service that has the name of pretty much every bare root fruit tree that we got in this year. And
you're ripping them off.
It's amazing how many are crossed out already. I mean, there's a lot. We did get a few things in. Last week, rooted stuff.
The potted stuff.
The potted bare root. We got some new stuff in. We got some ornamentals, too. We got the...
Festival?
Liquid ambers.
We haven't seen liquid ambers in a long time.
Yeah. It's funny. They kind of fell out of...
Yeah,
kind of fell out of favor for a while.
Liquid ambers, the American sweet gum, but what's the festival? It's a particular cultivar?
It's the color scheme of the leaf. Don't ask me which color.
I think it's orange and yellow.
Right.
I think so too. Yeah.
Okay, then what's Palo Alto?
Palo Alto is red. I think Palo Alto is red and orange, and Burgundy is Burgundy. Dark red.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Well done.
Way that was one of my favorite trees for a long time.
Yeah, it's it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's because all the East Coast transplants want maple trees.
Correct.
And that's the closest you're going to get.
Yeah, you want the change of color for the season. Yeah.
And those three variety, we didn't get the round-leafed ones or the
Rotunda Loba.
Rotunda Loba, yeah.
I did order Festival Palo Alto Burgundy and I think Rotunda Loba for the fall crop. So okay. We should have those available around November. Okay. Of this year.
And the nice thing about Rotunda Loba is that not only does it get nice color, but it's
seedless
for the most part.
Supposedly, yeah.
You don't get those giant
spiky balls.
Exactly.
Seed pods on them.
The elephant heart is pollinized by Beauty or Santa Rosa.
Well, that would confirm that it does want to. Okay, I just wanted to make sure because you sounded a little skeptical.
No, I
wanted
to make sure.
And then
I
saw you furiously typing away.
I wanted to make sure you knew which one since you may have planted it too far away or something.
I was going to say, so does that confirm that he will not be getting fruit this year?
Perhaps so.
Because he does not have one of those?
No, I have a beauty plum right next to where it is planted. And the beauty plum has not bloomed yet. So
now, beauty is self.
It is. It's one of the first plums as far as.
That's a yellow. Isn't that a yellow skin? Or yellow flesh?
It's a yellow
flesh. And a red blush. I think.
Red blush, yellow flesh.
And I do not have a Santa Rosa because I croaked that by planting it between a ficus that got big and an avocado that got big and it just got squeezed out. But I did plant a weeping Santa Rosa nearby that has not bloomed yet. So there's.
How long has it been in the ground?
This will be its second year.
And it still hasn't bloomed?
Well, not this year.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
It's in a little cooler spot.
We do have some weeping Santa Rosas left out there, I think, that I saw.
I think that's nice, a really neat ornamental as well as a fruiting.
Yeah, it's a good looking plant. Tree. And we had some, well, they might be gone now, but we had some Shiro plums out there.
We still have some.
Yep. Which, and that's the green Japanese one that.
Green gauge like.
Yeah.
Right. Semi-free stone.
Speaking of which, though, we did order some of the true green gauges that we used to have for the fall crop.
Well, we had some out along the fence that were labeled as green gauge.
Is that the Japanese variety or
probably from Pave or
the
they're the
Italian
ones that are
or whatever.
They're the ones that they're the good ones.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my grandparents had one in their backyard that. That tree produced so much fruit.
They're sweet.
They're really sweet, but with that really tart skin on them. They were good.
If you pick and eat them early enough, they're tart all the way through. It's wonderful.
Good point.
Yeah, so you got that going for you.
Yeah.
You're listening to Garden Talk, and you're on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to head down south to Otay Mesa where Bob is waiting. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. I bought a Frederick passion fruit from your store, and I'm reading directions. And the question I have, it says feed lightly every 60 days during growing season. Now, feed lightly, I don't know what that means. And the growing season, to me, the plant is growing all year long. And then what type of fertilizer do you use? It didn't say that on the instructions.
Any all-purpose fertilizer would be great for a passion vine. I had somebody come into the nursery that only wanted to get a 10-10-10 fertilizer for their passion vine because that's what they read online. But the passion vines we have encountered do not read, and they are not aware of what the labels say. So an all-purpose like the Grow Power or Grow Power Plus would be great, or the fruit tree fertilizer would be perfect for those.
And do you have a fertilizer at home?
Yes.
Okay, then.
What do you have?
10-10-10, and then I have one of yours I bought in a store that you always advertise.
Either one of them would be fine.
Either of those will work fine.
You don't have to go buy something different.
And because it is blooming or growing year-round, do it every 60 days. Give it some food. That's perfect.
So winter or summer, it doesn't matter.
Correct.
Just watch the water and through the winter, and then they like water when it's hot out. They don't necessarily need to stay wet when it's cold out.
They're a very easy plant to grow. Just get it established, and it'll take care of itself almost.
Yeah, when will I get fruit on it? How long does it take to get fruit?
What size did you get, a 1 gallon or a 5 gallon?
1 gallon.
About 18 months to 2 years before you'll start seeing fruit.
Oh, wow. Is there any way to rush it?
Feed it every 30 days.
Yeah. And get some heat, which
just
I don't know if you can do
it.
Anything about. Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, that card that comes with it, it's a nice card looking, but it wasn't really that helpful.
Card?
The tag that's on there. That's why we put that on there, so that you have to call into the radio show. We need our callers, so we set it up that way, so you will call and keep us busy in the mornings.
Hey, that works for me.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
For the call. Take care,
goodbye.
Bob.
It is amazing how fast... Passiflora edulis grows, and if he does stick with the feeding schedule, I would think
so much
sometime
fruit.
This summer
I put a bunch in a December, and by the following December I had some fruit, but about 18 months later, as I said, it just started prolific. A lot of fruit, more than you can eat.
We have that one in the back of the nursery. It's dropped fruit all the time. There's always people in there.
You know, we were talking about the class that John Clements is going to teach up in Poway about the Proteaceae and Grevilleas and such in there. We went to the California Adventure last week for my birthday, and that park up at Disneyland is just packed with California natives and a lot of Proteaceae. They had Grevilleas everywhere, leucodendrons. It was gorgeous. And I don't even like those plants, but they were just well planted.
Yeah, I'm kind of hit or miss on some of those.
I'm welling up this new information from George. It's another side of you we've never seen before. It's very nice.
What, that I like plants?
Well, that are not producing fruit.
I wouldn't put them in my landscape, perhaps, but they did look good in the setting that they were in.
Well, they're pretty bulletproof, too, once you get them established.
They had toyons and lemonade berries and such. Well, all kind of
toyons, toyons one of my favorite
natives. It's a good plant.
When it's cultivated nicely, it's a beautiful plant.
I have a large tree specimen in Poway. In PQ.
Since we are broadening your horizons, George, I want you to consider some of these plants that you wouldn't normally plant because they take care of themselves. They add beauty. The flowers are cuttable and lasting, and you can put them off in the distance. Just get them enough water to get them established, and then they don't need much thereafter.
Exactly.
And then they can just be backgrounds.
I have been considering a leucodendron, a leucospermum, a yellow one, I forgot which one it is, that Roy has up at the, what's it called now? Not Sunshine Care, but Farmer
Cadence.
Roy. Cadence. He
at
has a
Sunshine Gardens?
Outside
Cadence
of his garden.
Poway Gardens.
Poway Gardens. He has a gorgeous leucospermum that's
leucospermum or leucodendron?
Spermum. It's got the, it's the pincushion.
Okay. Yeah. When you said that, I started thinking of the other ones, which I'm not that excited about. The ones that don't produce the real flowers.
Or leucodendrons.
Leucodendrons can be a little boring.
They're okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, then you get some like jester that have the variegated dark foliage. So you get color all year round, whether it's blooming, which doesn't amount to much or not.
Yeah, jester and ebony is a really dark leafed one. Yeah.
And I saw one of those under some eucalyptus in North Poway. And actually they look like they tolerate the filtered sun under the eucalyptus. They tolerate the drought and the eucalyptus under the eucalyptus.
Well, that's
and so there is a place for them, even though I just got done bad-mouthing them on the air.
Yeah, I guess if you can grow it under eucalyptus, that's not a bad thing.
And there's a lot of eucalyptus out there, and people are always looking for plants to plant under their eucs.
That is true.
Yeah. Got it. I remember when the only Protea that we had was Gravilla Robusta. That was the only plant, other than macadamias, that was the only plant in the Protea family that we sold was Gravilla Robusta. Now there's, God, I can't even tell you how many different types of Gravillas there are.
Well, it's the truth.
Back at the beginning, it was the Robusta was the tree and Gravilla Noeli.
If memory serves, your dad doesn't like the tree.
If you have a big open field with nothing underneath of it, it's perfect. Because it's a beautiful tree, but they drop foliage like crazy.
Exactly.
And when they're in bloom, the nectar oozes out of the flowers, and it just gets all over everything.
Yeah. That was your dad's complaint.
And then the very nice green quiet parrots come by and eat the seeds after that.
They're very quiet.
Very quiet. Yeah.
I remember that.
You wouldn't even know they're there.
No.
at the house, there was a house across the street from my grandparents' house, and they had a huge Gravilla Robusta that was planted right next to the curb. Oh, and there was always dead foliage on the ground underneath of it. And you couldn't park your tree. You couldn't park your car on the street underneath of it because it would just get covered in sap.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of like a jacaranda of sorts.
Beautiful
tree, but don't park under them.
Yeah.
The bees and the hummingbirds like the grevilleas, though.
Yes, they do.
Well, now there's some of the bigger. You can get everything from the giant tree
to the ground
tree
covers,
form, yeah. like robusta covers. To the Mount Tamberitha ground cover type grevillea, which is actually a pretty neat looking plant. Mount Tamberitha.
That coastal gem.
All those little ones, right. Yeah.
And then some of the bush form ones are interesting because they have the highly cut foliage and they have big sprays of flowers on them too.
Yeah, yeah, there's some real pretty ones.
Yeah.
Robin Gordon.
They're nice.
I don't remember what it's called.
Moonlight.
To your point, David, they are very drought tolerant. You get them established, they do, as you said, better than some of our natives. So.
Do we have a convert in our midst?
Not yet.
Yeah. Put him in as a background somewhere. For me. Do it for me, George. Remember, it's about me.
Everything's about
yes,
you.
Sir.
Okay.
In a kind of related plant, I noticed when I was out walking around the yard yesterday, we got some beautiful 15-gallon leptospermums in. I don't know where they came from, but we've got 15-gallon bush leptospermums, and we've got 15-gallon patio tree leptospermums.
Those are the New Zealand tea plants.
Yeah, New Zealand tea tree. That's another one that once you get it established in the ground, they are almost impossible to kill. You let it get dry one time in a container, it's in the trash.
It's not coming back.
That's not one of those that you go, I'll take this one home and salvage it.
Yeah, no.
Those are very nice. Patio trees, columns, really, really,
really
nice.
And they're in full bloom right now. I think they're Helen Striblings.
They're the
pink one.
I think they are labeled as Helen Stribling.
You don't think that's what they are?
Correct.
What do you think they are? You think they're apple blossom?
I don't know it's apple blossom, but it's that apple blossom type flower because it has the multiple rows of petals, for lack of
a better. Oh, you mean it's a double?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Helen Stribling is a single waxy pink. I don't know what it is. I know what it's not.
Okay.
But it's very they're gorgeous. Beautiful. They're gorgeous.
They are.
They're really pretty. I think my favorite one of that particular variety is Ruby Glow.
Ruby Glow, yeah.
Yes.
This is the red on that same form. Okay.
But Helen Strimling is not. It's a single. It's a total single.
Interesting. I didn't look that closely at it.
Well, I did because it was a special order and Montreal was looking for Helen Strimling and this was here, and I said, that's not Helen Stribling. And it turns out the customer didn't want Helen Stribling.
The customer just wanted pink. Right.
It's totally fine. But it created a discussion.
Now, those flowers almost look like a wax flower, like the Chamaelusium.
Yes, they do.
Very close.
Yeah,
that's
similar.
Another plant that's a great plant.
I do have one of those as a pollinator.
Is there another name for Chamaelusium?
Geraldton wax flower.
Another very, very durable.
God, I haven't seen any of those. Do we have any?
We haven't had them in a bit. We did carry them.
Craig used to carry Palomar Mesa, but yeah. I don't know if they still do.
They have a tendency to kind of grow open and rangy.
True.
And they get that they don't make the most beautiful container plant in the nursery.
Great cut
but they
flower.
Are great yeah. cut flower, filler flower.
Correct. Correct.
And once they go in and once they're established, they don't need anything.
I was going to say, the one in PQ, has there's no water on it. I got it through its first year, and it just thrives.
Yeah, it's a good plant.
There's a theme here, and I'm a little concerned. Not concerned. It bothers me that you will be accepting of the Geraldton wax flower, but not some of the other members of the Proteaceae family that are not macadamias.
I'll expand my horizons, perhaps.
Okay. That's all I need.
I'll look into expanding my horizons.
That's all we can ask
Got
for.
My foot in the door.
There you go.
Another thing that I saw out in the yard, which I hadn't seen in a long time, was staked Cecil Bruner climbing roses. I don't know where those came from, because the ones we used, our main supplier for those, Roland retired several years ago. But these were nice. They were Horak quality Cecil Bruners.
And we had an endless supply of Cecil Bruner bush roses, which I prefer because they bloom over a longer season than the climber. And we got those from Roland because when he was doing his cuttings of propagation of the climbing Cecil Bruner, some would fail and just stay as bushes. And he didn't want the bush ones. He was selling the climbers. So we got the bush ones cheap. But nobody's growing it, or very few people are growing it now.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way.
And I look across its smiling lips that warm my...
Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
God did make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime.
And we're back.
There's no such thing.
With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Oh, that was close.
You know, people ask why we do this. Why do you get up so early to come in and do this?
But I
you
say
know
that every morning.
It's the music.
It's the music. It's fun. I enjoy this.
I do too.
As do I.
Whether it's good or bad, right or wrong, I enjoy it.
Yeah. It is fun.
Oh, let's see.
What Especially else? When we get on the air in a timely manner.
Yeah. Correct. And get to answer questions.
We must have gotten an Oregon order from Monrovia because we did. Because we've got the weeping flowering cherries in. I saw
magnolias.
Saw the magnolia cylangianas.
Black tulips.
The black tulips are starting to bloom, and they look beautiful.
Did we get forsythia yet?
Yes, we did.
Okay, good.
I saw them out front yesterday, and we got some rhododendrons in too. We got some red rhododendrons that are all budded. They haven't started to bloom yet, but that's something you don't find down here very often. The true rhododendrons,
correct?
They don't thrive in. You can grow them, but they don't thrive in this heat.
Yeah.
Although the ones that did, which they don't grow anymore, were the tropical
ones,
the
yeah.
tropical rhododendrons. Those were neat plants.
But if you want to try the rhododendrons, they will grow down here. My folks have some that are still alive after many years. But treat them like you would the blueberries. Grow them in that extra acid mix. Straight azalea mix, a lot of peat moss, or containers. Theirs are in the ground.
They are okay.
And they've done all right.
But do they feed them with an acid?
No.
So, really?
Anything. I think the one we have is that lavender one. Do you remember the name?
Yeah, Anacrusca.
Anacrusca.
Yeah. Yeah.
Da.
That's the one that, yeah.
But planting them, I remember talking to a customer who dug out a ginormous hole and then he filled it with just straight peat moss. But I think I'd plant them straight azalea mix.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
these have grown through that, and they're still okay. They're not great, but they're still there after probably close to 10 years.
Mm, yeah. Let's see. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to head out east to Lakeside, where Steve is waiting. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I've listened to the show for years and have enjoyed it very much. But
Thank you.
Hey, a quick comment. My wife loves those Geraldine wax flowers. We must have a dozen or more in our yard here. So and this time of year, they really look good and blossoming. You guys were commenting about them. Anyways, my question is, I have a number of fruit trees, and some of them I've not gotten any fruit from the last, since I planted them 4 years. One's a miniature spicy nectarine. Another one is a flavored grenade plum. I have an apricot cross that I got two apricots on last year. That's the first ones I've ever gotten. I just wonder, is there something I can do? I probably should have called November, but something I can do now that I can get more fruit.
The flavor grenade pluot needs a pollinizer, so you need a plum of some kind to be blooming with it for it to set fruit. Aprium, I'm guessing, is that what you meant? The aprium, those should do well here. The spicy nectar plum is self-fruitful and should do well here. And make sure, meaning no disrespect to you, you know how to prune these properly, because a lot of times people, when they're think they are doing good and pruning their trees properly, are chopping off the wood that is going to produce fruit for the following year. So that is very important. And fruit, the flowering buds are set during the prior summer. So making sure that the trees don't get overly stressed and burn those flowering buds as they're forming in the along the branches, that's important as well.
Are they flowering?
Flavor grenade, I don't believe it flowered last year. I do have a lot of other fruit trees. I have a Santa Rosa plum right next to it.
That's the pollinator for the flavor grenade. That's one of the pollinators, so that's good.
Yeah, and I don't think they blossomed at the same time. That's what I'm starting to think now. But
if they don't bloom at the same time, this fall, come in and get one of the true green gauges that we have, or come pick up a green gauge, because they bloom over a long season. That was one of its great benefits as a pollinizer, because it blooms over a very long season, and it can pick up pollination for many different varieties.
And if you go to the Dave Wilson website, our wholesaler for the pluots, you can look up your flavor grenade. It'll give you a list of a couple other pluots that you can use as well if you wanted to put another pluot in the yard that are also be a pollinator for the flavor grenade.
And make sure you're feeding. Okay. Make sure you're feeding well too. Fruit tree fertilizer or the Grow Power 3-12-12.
Okay, I just I put some on yesterday, but I gotta admit I don't think I've put anything on since last summer.
That will certainly help.
Try being nicer to them this year. Give them a little more food and a little more water than maybe in the last couple of years. And if you are not, are you familiar with the pruning processes on the different trees, or are you not quite so familiar with them?
Well, there's always something to learn, but I do cut off the water, what I call the sprouts, the water sprouts, and I leave the fruiting spurs alone. I tend to leave those alone.
Good.
They're going in a bad direction. But
Anything less than an inch this next year, don't cut off. Just leave all the little things laying around and see if that doesn't help. And the summer watering might be a part of the problem as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'll increase that amount over the summer.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Enjoy
Steve.
Enjoy the show very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend.
It's so tough to
yeah.
figure out completely what's going on in different situations, but there's so many different possible failure points.
Correct.
You know, if everything doesn't get done kind of okay, you have problems. Possible,
yeah, it's the truth.
I missed a lot.
It's hard to pinpoint it.
I missed a lot of fruit from lack of summer water. I know it. And then the year before, I paid attention to it and took care of my trees, and I got more fruit the following year. Yes. Amazing how that can
amazing
work.
How that works.
It is. It's one of those situations where, I mean, life gets in the way sometimes of doing things. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. We got time for one quick phone call. Taryn, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. We got about a minute. What can we do for you? A
couple quick questions. Mm-hmm. Do you have a podcast? Because I don't always get up at 6 in the morning on a Saturday.
Yes. They're usually posted on our website, or you can find them at the KCBQ website as well.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Carlsbad, about 4 miles from the ocean. I would love to buy a bare root apple. I do have a neighbor that has one and want a recommendation. I love Honeycrisp apples. Do you have something that might be similar and actually
That's a very high chill.
Yeah.
I would Dorset Golden, Anna, or Beverly Hills.
Anna's the one to get, I think.
Anna.
Yeah.
Is it pretty tart and sweet?
I think so. Yeah.
I think so. I think it's pretty tart. Yeah.
But here's where it matters your taste. I think the Beverly Hills is a better apple.
Okay. I'll research a couple. Beverly Hills, Anna, and Dorset.
Dorset Golden.
Yeah, they're all low chill.
Very low chill, and would do well by the beach.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Taryn. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next Saturday morning with another hour of Garden Talk right here. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.